May the words of my lips and the meditations of all our hearts be now and always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. What a gift to a preacher to preach in the middle of a flower festival. If only it wasn't for the hay fever. For the fact that the readings don't fit. The theme of the readings appears to be fear. Well, let's work with it and see if I can't bring it round to the beauty of nature by the end of the sermon. And if I succeed, you can give me a round of applause. Because of the theme of today's gospel, I was just this week trying to do some potentially dodgy research on using Google about what people are afraid of. I have no idea how reliable this is, but one potential authority said that people are more afraid of being asked to speak in public than they are of meeting a snake on a walk through the woods. That doesn't seem to make sense. I mean, you don't see people shuddering with fear at the sight of a pulpit or a lectern, do you? Well, maybe you do. There are empty pews at the front. but looking into this a little further, there is another comparison that is often made. Many people's number one fear is public speaking, and number two is death. Death. Death is number two after being asked to speak in public. Does that sound right?
Yes.
Does it really mean that you'd rather be the corpse than the person giving the eulogy at a funeral? Well, maybe not. But such are the perils of using Google as a research engine. So I went back to the Bible and to today's readings to continue my research into fear. In today's Eucharist, it is clear that those who chose the readings wanted us to hear the voice of Jesus saying to us, "Do not be afraid." In the Gospel, we hear Jesus say it three times. Have a look if you want. It says, "Have no fear, do not fear, do not be afraid." Now, Jesus clearly doesn't mean everything is going to be calm and lovely, and we will never have any trouble. He doesn't mean that. He says that there will be times of conflict. Yes, even with those who are closest to us. But ultimately, it will be all right. Today we hear Jesus' words. Today we rejoice that in the midst of our troubles, the Lord is always at our side to help us, to protect us from the evils present in the world around us. Jesus reassures us, for we are very dear to him. This world in which we are living is not an easy place. For a long time, most of us have lived with a climate of fear. I grew up with the fear of nuclear war and IRA terrorism. And the children who are growing up now have the fear of extremists and fundamentalists, not only giving religion a bad name, but also increasingly the fear of hatred and violence on our own streets. It is admittedly worse for those living in Syria and Iraq and Sudan and other places. It has been worse for us in Europe. It was worse for Jeremiah during a much earlier Middle East crisis. The reading from Jeremiah, which is set for this morning, is an example. It shows us that this kind of anxiety and fear has been there all through human history. Jeremiah's career, which lasted about 40 years, saw a good king, a couple of bad kings, a weak king, and the forced deportation of all but the very dregs of the population. Most of this, Jeremiah warned his people about in advance. He could see it coming. but his foresight won him few friends and many enemies. It was not as though Jeremiah felt he had any choice about his calling. At the beginning of his book, we hear God telling Jeremiah that even while he was growing in his mother's womb, he was being chosen and prepared for the role of God's prophet. It was there in his very nature. And Jeremiah cries out that not to speak is as painful as the fear and isolation that follows when he does. It burns him up. Nor does Jeremiah have any choice about what it is he has to say. Jeremiah was a nice man, and he wanted to speak nice words about love and reassurance. But look at the situation. The burden on his heart is the fear and the destruction all around him. He has to be truthful. He blames God for the acute discomfort he feels because of this situation. But actually, it is not far from the situation many of us Christians find ourselves in. We too want to speak words of love and peace and are horrified by the world that expresses itself in terms of hatred and fear and discrimination. All around him, Jeremiah hears whispers, sees shadows, any one of which could mean his death, except that the God who has placed this burden on him is also the one who protects him from others and says to him, "Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid." Now, how on earth am I going to get back to the flowers and the beauty of nature? Oh well, press on. Christian disciples throughout the centuries have faced similar moments, as Jesus warned us that we would. Like Jeremiah, we have to tell people what we are given to tell. And a lot of the time, our audience doesn't want to hear it any more than the people of Judah wanted to hear what Jeremiah said. Like Jeremiah, we cannot choose to soften the message if it happens to be not to people's liking, not even if those people are members of our own families. But like Jeremiah, we know that God protects us. And as Jesus says, that we are of more value than many sparrows to him. We are loved very deeply by him, and that to us is our greatest consolation. The world is a rough place, but I'm afraid that the way that the world shares the news and intelligence about itself makes it seem rougher than it is. Let us learn to trust Jesus when he says, "Do not be afraid." The world that the media portray is a world of sensation, disaster, contention. But that may not be an entirely true or complete picture. If it seems like hell is breaking loose in what would otherwise be a perfect world, maybe you are seeing the cup half empty. To see the cup half full, realize that it's actually the other way round. This is a fallen world. And what we are seeing is heaven becoming visible in it. Do not be afraid, Jesus says. William Law was born back in the 17th century, which was itself not a time free of contention. He was one of the founding thinkers of the Anglican Church, although at the time he couldn't work as an Anglican priest because he had taken an oath of allegiance to the Stuart king, and he couldn't in all conscience take another oath to the new Hanoverian monarch all the time that the old king was still alive. His personal integrity, as well as his deeply and clearly thought out writing, greatly influenced the church of his day, as well as thinkers of the Enlightenment who read him, people as famous as Samuel Johnson and Edward Gibbon. William Law was very much from the same mould as Jeremiah, a good man trying to be faithful in bad times. William Law is so good on so many levels that his writings have never been out of print since. And I want to finish this sermon with some of his words and a couple of mine. All that is sweet, delightful, and amiable in this world, in the serenity of the air, the fineness of the seasons, the joy of light, the melody of sounds, the beauty of colours, the fragrancy of smells, the splendour of precious stones, is nothing else but heaven breaking through the veil of this world, manifesting itself in such a degree and darting forth in such variety, so much of its own nature. You see, I did get to the beauty of nature in the end. This world is not a perfect one being spoilt, but an imperfect one being saved. Jesus says, "Do not be afraid." Amen.